Sir, this is a Wendy's. Posted on Thursday, July 27, 2023. Okay, so I've been foreshadowing this for a while, and I don't think I can help myself anymore. Ever since I read this Lincoln Post, I've had it in my head that it wouldn't be too hard to put together with the assortment of random open source software that already exists in the world. Combined with the OpenAI API, Lincoln Post endpoints for chat, Lincoln Post, and voice transcription. Lincoln Post, it actually doesn't even sound like a first cut at this thing would take up a full hackathon attempt. So, let's step into a totally unbranded drive-through establishment and see what it would look like to have a robot handling the human interaction at the front end. Voice recording at the user end. There's two different recording types we want here. First, we should just ambiently record all the time so we can do things when noise levels get high enough to imply directed speech. And second, once we're in the middle of taking an order, we need to be able to record a block of time until the user is done, silent, for a second or two. Both of these are going to be in the sound submodule, Link in Post. And as you'll see, based on the implementation I ended up putting together here, I'm not doing any of my usual cross-platform support stuff. Link in Post. This thing straight up assumes macOS. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called recordAmbient that takes in an optional dir argument. It uses the shellsh function to execute a shell command that records audio. The recorded audio is saved in a new file specified by the dir argument. That's the end of the code block. Rec is literally an alias for the rec command line tool, encoded in a way that explicitly assumes a brew installation, link in post. There's a definition earlier in sound.clj that reads defrec optonbrew binrec, and that set of parameters I passed to it is something I got from a Stack Exchange answer. Link in post, after some fairly painful Googling. It does what the comments imply it does, but this seems like a situation where you've got a weirdly idiosyncratic enough tool that putting this command together myself would be a multi-day exercise in learning and frustration. The other one's more interesting. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. At a high level, it defines a function called record until silence that takes optional parameters for directory file name and silence size. It uses the shells function to execute a shell command for recording audio, applying voice activity detection, trimming silence, and normalizing the gain. If the recording is successful, indicated by an exit code of 0, it returns the file name. That's the end of the code block. I mean, it doesn't look more interesting, but this is an example of something I didn't think iDev Link in Post would be good for. That turns out to be its most useful feature. I got the basic skeleton of this function by highlighting the above record ambient definition and doing mxaidev refactor region with chat writ. This function records ambient sound into files starting with non-silent sound and keeps going until terminated. Please rewrite it so that it instead begins recording immediately, records until a block of silence, and then stops, rather than recording into a fresh file afterward. That's the end of the code block. It didn't give me back exactly the definition I ended up committing. In particular, I had to rejig its parameters and rename it. But the key part, the changed parameters to shellsh, got dropped indirectly from the result. This isn't fantastically impressive, but I could imagine the process that I would need to follow in order to generate that shell call myself. And it definitely involved doing a stupid amount of Googling and or reading manrec. The 0.5 second API call for my editor, followed by a minute or two of restructuring the resulting function definition, is better. If this is the future of programming, I could get used to it. The part of the top-level work process that I'm going to end up leaving as an exercise for the reader includes how to actually determine when we should start the interaction process. The initial approach I thought of, which involved running record ambient until it started generating files, doesn't quite work. Specifically, it gets weird because the point of this interaction is that you're going to be playing synthesized speech back in the same general area where you're doing ambient recording to figure out what the user wants. You could probably do the work to just keep the recorded user stream, but it doesn't seem worth it. There's definitely a company's worth of work waiting to be done here. And if some enterprising business dude out there wants to handle that part, I'll gladly sign on as CTO. But I'm doing this with an eye to exploration, rather than amassing wealth. I'll point out some of the known or suspected shortcomings in the conclusion. Voice transcription. Dealing with the voice input of the user is something that gets dealt with in model.clj, link in posts, with calls out to the sound functions from above and also out to my API library, link in posts. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called waitForUserResponse, which takes an optional keyword argument, attempts with a default value of 3. It checks if the number of attempts is greater than 0, and if so, it records the user's voice and transcribes it using an HI. It then logs both the user's voice and the transcription. If no recording is captured, the function recursively calls itself with attempts decremented by 1. That's the end of the code block. Easy, right? We're going to try a few times, in case recording or transcription errors for some reason. But the thing we're doing in an attempt is calling record until silence with a file name that isn't yet taken in this order's subfolder. That went fine. We log the call with order log, and then send a request to HI transcription. If that went fine, we log it again, and then call user chat, which is just a utility function that adds the message to this order's history. Feed conversation to the chat interface. Once a user has initiated an order, we need the AI to respond, which is pretty straightforward once you think about it. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called robot_response, which sends a chat message to an AI and retrieves the response. It then logs the AI's response, sends the response to the robot's chat, converts the response text to an MP3 file, logs the generated audio file, and finally plays the audio. That's the end of the code block. We just feed get order interaction into AI chat, store the result in interaction history, and output the result both to the order log and to an MP3 file on disk, which we then immediately play for the user. You'll note that this implies a particular structure for an order. Specifically, it'll be an object that looks like. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure, a functional programming language. It defines a map with a key named name of type string and another key named interaction that contains a vector of map. Each map in the interaction vector has two keys role, which can be either system, user, or assistant, and content, which is a string. Overall, this code block represents a data structure for capturing interactions between different roles in a system. That's the end of the code block. The interaction slot is where we'll keep our chat history, and the name slot is something to keep around so we can generate file system entries for intermediate files. Also, one of the components of the robot response definition is sound text to MP3. It's worth lingering on its definition long enough to note that it's another piece of Mac OS specific infrastructure, though only barely. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines a function called text2mp3, which takes in a string of text and an optional directory path. The function creates a temporary IF file, uses the say command to convert the text to speech, and save it to the IF file, then uses the lame command to convert the AF file to an MP3 file. Finally, it deletes the AF file and returns the path of the MP3 file. That's the end of the code block. Most of that is cross-platform. We use the Java file interface to make temp files and lame to transcode output IF files to MP3, but the thing we use to actually make text into sound waves is sick. I had a half-baked plan in my head right now to extract a voice chat library out of this project later, and part of that effort is going to involve either using JavaX speech Lincoln Post or calling out to a speak Lincoln Post on platforms that don't have say install. Okay, next piece. In order to handle order interaction in this loop of listen, transcribe, chat, speak, our AI is going to need to know what orders it can take. Prompting with a menu. This part is ripped bleeding from fast food menu prices, Lincoln Post. They have a pretty comprehensive set of menus in human readable format, which is exactly what we want here. If you're going to try actually selling this product at some point, you'll want to let your clients customize this by feeding in a new menu every so often, or possibly by exposing a dashboard to them. But for this prototype, I just copy-pasted something into the model.clj file. The prompt-related pieces look like. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. It defines three variables, restaurant, menu, and prompt. Restaurant is a string that represents the name of a restaurant. Menu is a large string that likely contains the menu items for the restaurant. Prompt is a list of maps, each representing a system prompt for a fast food employee. The prompts provide instructions for interacting with customers, including upselling, clarifying orders, and displaying the menu. That's the end of the code block. Still gotta love that natural language prompting. Realistically, you might want to do a bit more specific prompting than this, but it works for basic interactions. The interaction loop. Once all of this is put together, you can define take order. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. At a high level, it defines a function called take order that creates a new order and then enters an interaction loop. The loop checks if there is a history to extract data from. And if so, it extracts the data. Otherwise, it prompts for user response and waits for it. It continues this loop until it receives a specific response from the robot. That's the end of the code block. We set up a loop using a named anonymous function, and in it we alternate between calling model wait for user response and model robot response. In between each response call, we check should extract to see whether we have an order worth extracting yet. If it is, we call extract to take our order's chat history and try to tabulate what the user ordered. The implementations are approximately what you'd expect if you've been following my OpenAI shenanigan. Here is a code block. This code block is written in Clojure. At a high level, the first function should extract takes a chat history and checks if the user's order is complete by appending a system message and querying an 8i chat. It then updates the order log and returns a boolean indicating if the order is complete. The second function extract also takes a chat history and prompts the 8i chat for the user's final order, updates the order log, and returns the extracted order as a string. That's the end of the code block. Drumroll. Once you have all of that wired up, you can do things approximately like edited slightly for brevity, and also because the original interactions happened in audio format. Here's a series of code blocks. Each code block contains an example interaction cycle between the user and an order taking robot. These are best read in the original text format of this blog post. Thoughts? On AI interaction and general conclusions. As you can see by the last couple of example interactions, I also tried some light trolling, and while I suspect I could eventually trip the drive-through bot up in ways that no humans would get confused by it, slightly surprised me that it's not this easy. After all, the original prompt didn't explicitly say your restaurant doesn't serve alcohol, or you shouldn't let customers add things to the menu. One thing that surprised me here is exactly how bad ChatGPT is at making Boolean decisions, despite the earlier success in encoding machine-readable data structures, link and post. It still occasionally fails now that I'm asking it to return a yes or no answer, but it was failing much worse when the prompt told it to return a JSON response of type Boolean. It's the sort of thing that I'd naively expect it to be at least decent at, but the original Boolean encoded should extract function didn't do much better than a coin toss. As in during testing, I'd relatively frequently see it return true for empty orders, or false for ones where the 8i had clearly passed the please drive-through call to action. This is obviously less than ideal, and it's one of the things you'd absolutely want to solve if your goal was to commercialize this product. Other such problems. I made a very cursory attempt at adversarial interactions with the agent. It didn't fail the specific things I tried, but I'd still probably want some sort of guardrails against users ordering things off menu or trying other shenanigans. There's a possible attack open at the moment that involves starting an audio loop when you get to the wait for user input phase of the workflow. In general, I'm fairly confident that the agent as coded would mostly work for a cooperative customer, and fairly confident that a persistent adversary could force explosions in some way. Right now, the interaction starts when audio crosses a fairly arbitrary, tested in my room on my computer against my voice threshold. It almost certainly wouldn't be the right choice for field conditions that probably include wind and loud but ignorable ambient sound. If you're using this to replace traditional drive-thrus, you'd probably want to analyze a camera feed to see if an approximately car-shaped object is in the appropriate position to be issuing orders. If you're using this as a supplement to the traditional drive-through workflow and exposing it over an online or app-based interface, you probably want to have a button the user presses do the appropriate thing. At the moment, this is hard-coded to be Mac, OS-specific, and assumes you install a bunch of stuff through Homebrew. All things considered, that's probably the easiest obvious problem to solve. In the same vein as ChatGPT being surprisingly bad at Booleans, it's also not exactly great with some. In testing, it would frequently tell the user the wrong order total by around 50 cents in either direction. I'm not sure what causes this, but it happened often enough that I'd probably want a production system built on top of this to use deterministic machine arithmetic rather than relying on the AI to do any math in its head. This is just an incomplete list of the problems I see off the top of my head. There are definitely more, and absolutely lots more, that I haven't thought of. I did mean it when I said that you've got about a company's worth of problems to solve here if you're up for it. All of these are being left as an exercise for the reader, though. As I mentioned earlier, after I meditate for a bit, my next move is going to be extracting a voice chat library from this project, and possibly seeing if I can get it to do any interesting tea, Earl Grey, hot style things for me. As always, I'll let you know how it goes. This post had 4 footnotes that were omitted from this recording for now.